Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 20th of October, recording at 10:35 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first the highlights here. The global stock market correction remains intact. Wall Street's rebound yesterday, while providing some temporary encouragement, was pretty well reversed in here today, but not by the NASDAQ. And elsewhere, well, this has really spilled over into other markets, and I'll cover that in sequence. But first, where are we in terms of these global stock markets? And I think we must continue to conclude that a medium-term correction is underway. Now, you can have a look at those U.S. charts in the comment of the day, which I have just issued. And while the NASDAQ is moderately encouraging because it only saw a small break beneath its August and September lows and then rallied back above that level yesterday and did not retrace all of its gains in here today, the S&P and the Dow have been weaker recently and pretty well retraced all of yesterday's gains. So, as I said in my comment, the best case scenario that I can actually make is that the supply-demand situation is evening out and we're seeing the beginning of a bottoming out process for at least the short term on Wall Street. Now, that's the outside chance based on current evidence, and we would certainly need to see some more upward dynamics near current levels to give some additional technical evidence in favor of the bullish case, provide some additional technical evidence, I should say. The more likely script is that this remains a medium-term correction, and all we've seen is a pause beneath the August lows, and this correction is going to continue. Now, what would be behind that? What would be causing the actual correction? Well, factors that have been contributing all along are the higher costs of energy that we have been seeing, the inflationary pressures that people are now talking about, having been in denial regarding inflationary pressures for most of the last 2 years. And also, well, that all of that translates into concern over corporate profits. Corporate profits, of course, have been terrific in the last 2 or 3 years. But to keep the stock market going on the upside, they need to remain fairly rosy. And instead, the higher interest rates, the energy costs, the inflationary pressures, so on, are understandably causing investors to start to revise down some of their earnings estimates. And they are, or if they aren't going that far just yet, they certainly are less willing to have major exposure in not only stock markets, but a number of other markets, which I should also touch on. Now, bonds just have not rallied against the background of this stock market sell-off, and that's because of the rising interest rate fears. And so we also have the prospect, which I've said was very much a long-term probability, that long-dated interest rates would be rising as well. And a lot of people have really sort of been dismissive of this argument for quite some time, saying that no, deflationary pressures had the upper hand. I don't think so at all. I think that we are much more likely to see a significant inflation problem before we get a significant deflation problem. So the prospect of higher long-term interest rates and also higher short-term interest rates, well, that really is a recipe for stagflation or worse. And therefore, any additional increase in long-dated government bond yields, weakness in government bond prices, of course, would be bearish for stock markets in general. If there's an exception to that, it's Japan, but Japan is certainly now in the reaction phase to record the first step above the base. And while I remain optimistic that Japan is in a secular bull market, along with the resources markets and along with most emerging markets, pretty well all emerging markets, I have emphasized over and over again the Wall Street leash effect. And with Wall Street falling away from the higher side of this year's trading range, during which it was experiencing it's been experiencing underperformance all along, that leash is being pulled in, and that puts additional pressure, or puts selling pressure on all stock markets. We'll never get the uncoupling, not least because beyond the briefest period, not least because U.S. investors, along with European investors, have been some of the major buyers of Japan and other stock markets that have done so well earlier this year. Okay, moving on to currencies. We've had, I should put it this way, this intriguing situation for the U.S. dollar index continues, with it testing and nudging above that 90 level where we have lateral and the psychological resistance from the round number, 90 figure. But it cannot maintain it, and it pushed up above 90 again today, but subsequently fell back again. Now, we need more in the way of downward dynamics to fully reaffirm this resistance. So all we can say at this stage is that the dollar bulls are still testing this resistance area, and if they keep pushing against it, we'll eventually get a further break on the upside for the U.S. dollar. So to see the resistance level reaffirmed in the eyes of all the people who are trading currencies, as I say, we do need to see another or a clear downward dynamic by the U.S. dollar index. I think that's going to happen at some point, but I'm pretty much of an agnostic on this call at the moment. I'm here because it's not too hard to envisage the U.S. dollar pushing a bit higher. But, you know, this is the resistance level, and until I see it taken out, I remain of the view that upside scope for the dollar is relatively limited compared to the downside scope that I think we're likely to see over the next year or so. What would cause that sentiment to change towards the dollar? Well, people would become less bullish, this is in currency terms, for higher interest rates in the U.S. Relative to other countries around the world. That would be certainly be one good reason. And continued underperformance rather by Wall Street would be another reason. And no doubt, if and when the dollar does fall back, or when the dollar does fall back significantly, there'll be other reasons that will get rolled out once again, such as the deficit situation and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, the script that I had been detailing before going away Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to Dubai had really been one of this weakness that we were seeing, this Wall Street-led weakness spilling over into other markets that had done well in recent months or years. And the main reason for that is because profit erosion in stock markets would cause investors to become more risk averse, and they would book square, take profits, or certainly move out of other markets as well. And we have seen that, not with that much impact, not with anything like the impact that we've been seeing in some of the stock markets, but nevertheless, we have seen some selling pressure, and precious metals have not escaped that in here. These moves look minor relative to the overall upward trends, but I can't actually say that they're over. My own view here, or my additional view, is that precious metals have pulled back into a buying area. Indeed, I've been nibbling here recently with some limit orders that I've had in the markets for silver, and I've also stepped in, or I did last Monday just before catching my plane and buying a little bit more gold. The gold move looks mistaken. My baby steps, buy orders in silver, I'm quite content with, and I just missed another baby steps buy earlier on in the day when I think silver dipped down in the December contract to I got down to 753, close to my next buying level. It's currently in after hours trading at 765 and a half, which I think is sort of unchanged on the day. Gold did not do so well, slipping lower in here. Last traded at 461.30 in the after hours trading, and platinum also fell, currently 924. Looks like we saw palladium close up a little bit on the day at 212. But I think the pullback in platinum, the pullback in silver, and the pullback in gold have brought these metals back to levels, buying levels where the any additional downside risk is likely to be greatly outweighed by the upside scope. If I'm wrong in that forecast, I think it would, and I'm betting with my fairly largish gold and silver positions, and also a platinum position, that I'm not going to be wrong. It's going to be because of one of two things: that the dollar takes off, and that will always be a headwind for these metals, particularly at a time when investors are wary of risk, and or more wary of risk than they were, say, a month ago. And the other factor would be that Wall Street is sufficiently weak to just cause people to want to close down positions generally. And there are an awful lot more people who are long precious metals at the moment, in terms of, at least in terms of investors and speculators, than there are people who are short. Okay. What else to mention here? I think that's pretty much it. I haven't really had a look at the soft commodities today, although I can see that cocoa is, and coffee, cocoa and coffee are a bit softer here on the day. But the big drama, of course, is this Wall Street-led stock market correction. That's it, folks. All the best.